The following interview was conducted on behalf of the Oral History Program of the Century High School. The interviewee is Bob Herman. The interviewer is Daniel Lee. The interview took place at May 25th, 2005 at approximately
10:10.
Just stop. Describe and analyze changes and trends in crime and law enforcement in Hillsboro, Oregon from 1980 to 2001. Mr. Herman, how long have you lived in Hillsboro?
Well, I've worked here. I've lived actually in Beaver, but I worked in Hillsboro for 30 years, since 1975.
Since 1975. Where did you work before?
Actually, I graduated from law school in 1974 and came to work here shortly after I graduated from law school. I went to law school at Willamette University in Salem.
How long did it take you to get your law degree?
It took me, I had to go to undergraduate school for 4 years, also at Willamette, and then law school was 3 years, so a total of 7 years after high school.
What was your minor or major? What did you face?
In college, I majored in economics and also in what they called rhetoric, but it's a funny name for speech.
In the 1980s, what type of cases did you normally receive?
Well, in the 1980s, we'd get, just like we do today, we'd get drunk driving cases. We had a lot of those. Those are mostly what we tried. We'd get a fair amount of shoplifting cases. We'd only get a murder case about once a year. Now we get anywhere from, 5 to 16 a year. Our drug problem was mostly marijuana, a little bit of heroin and cocaine. We never heard about methamphetamine back in that time. And we get the usual drunken assaults and wild stuff, no gang activity back then. Not as much domestic violence as we see now. And of course, we had a lot of child abuse cases.
How would you differentiate 1980s and 1990s, basically?
The 80s and the 90s? We started seeing more people, of course, we'd see more types of crimes. We get more stores and more merchants, so there'd be, more shoplifting cases, more thefts. I guess we started to see more problems with drugs, particularly in the mid-80s. Heroin was a problem that we'd see a fair amount of. And then we definitely started seeing more murder cases than we had. We had a stretch in the mid-80s where we had 15 or 16 people charged with murder at one time in our jail, which is still pretty unusual, but we see a lot of those cases.
Was there any specific trial or case that you remember most that was impacted your life?
Well, I've had probably over 24 murder trials, murder cases. Of course, they're all pretty tragic events. I guess some of the more interesting ones were back in the mid-90s. I tried a case where this guy was a serial killer. He killed four women in Washington County. There was a woman that worked down here at Quality Hospital and as a midwife, and she helped deliver a baby and was on her way home on Cornell now, where Orenco Station is now. Back then it was a big field, and she was a total stranger, we believe. He drove alongside her, fired 16 rounds at her car, shot her. She drove off the road. He pulled her from the car, and then he put her in his car and took her a distance and sexually assaulted her and then shot her in the head. As I said, he was also charged with murdering a gal he picked up in Portland, an elderly woman that lived right over here in Hillsboro by David Hill Elementary School, and then another woman in Cornelius. So we had two separate trials, and he got three death penalties on death row right now. So he was one of the more interesting people we've seen in Washington County.
Do you think that crimes have become more violent as time's gone on?
Yes, we see more violence. When I was growing up, people get into an argument over something, they punch each other in the nose. Or if somebody insulted somebody, there might be a fist fight. And now we see, shootings and knifings, things that we, never saw before, things to retaliate for something. It's not just a fight. We see a lot more of that violence. Unfortunately, with particularly methamphetamine, we see a lot of people that, don't act rationally and get, really angry over things. Having been here for as long as I have, I've seen the difference I believe Measure 11 made, and I believe it's been a positive impact. The first thing we saw was that some of the leaders in some of the gangs oftentimes were 23, 24, 25, 26-year-olds that were kind of the leaders of gangs and committing crimes and robberies and crimes of violence with younger kids associated with the gang. And initially, when might not be able to sit in the trial and actually see what was going on in the trial of the person who was accused of the murder, or someone who'd been sexually assaulted, a rape victim, couldn't sit in the courtroom to actually see the trial about what happened to them. They would actually be excluded. So a law was passed to say that victims and family members have a right to be in the courtroom during trials so they can see the process, so they have confidence in knowing, what happened and why it happened and hearing the evidence. And then there's been a number of other rights where victims have a right to, the prosecutor on violent crimes needs to consult with the victims to find out what their feelings are, what they want. Before somebody's released from prison, I told you about the guy that got out in 8 years for murder. Back then, the judge didn't know it, I didn't know it, and the victim's family didn't know it, because it was just done behind closed doors, and now victims have a right to be notified about, when somebody might be paroled or released. So there's a whole bunch of rights that have been really important for really for our citizens, victim ones.
Okay. What's the current crime focus? Can you say that it was a drunk driving and gangs, or is there anything specific?
Well, I think currently there's, the gang problem has increased a little bit here in Hillsborough recently. We've had a couple of cases, but that's kind of always a focus, and drunk driving is kind of always a focus. It's one of those things that seems to have always been here. I think right now we really are focusing on domestic violence, trying to deal very carefully. We've had a lot of training of the police, how they investigate those cases. We have victim advocates. Police Department in Hillsborough has someone that will go with a police officer. So a woman that's in a situation where, she needs some advice or some help, there'll be an advocate to give her some advice. If kids are involved, who see the violence, who are around the violence, we try to get them some counseling and some help so that they can deal with it. And so there's kind of a, everybody that's involved knows that if you're around violence, there's a greater likelihood that you might be, violent yourself as you grow up. And so there's a big emphasis on those cases to try to stop the cycle, get the offender, hold him responsible, maybe get him into counseling. It depends. If it's a real serious thing, then he's going to go to jail or prison. But if there's not serious injuries, he doesn't have a record, we try to intercede and, maybe try to put a stop to it so it doesn't happen anymore. The other big problem area that we're dealing with right now, big focus, is methamphetamine. It's a drug that has created significant problems in our community.
You can tell me I'm taking a phone call.
That's all right.
Okay.
I've got a voice for the machine. So. But methamphetamine is, I had a murder case not too long ago of a Forest Grove High School student who entered a home to commit a burglary over in Cornelius. He'd been using meth, I don't know how much, but the homeowner, he attacked the homeowner that was asleep for no reason at all. Got into quite a fight with them, killed the homeowner, tried to kill the 5-year-old boy in the home, and then stole, you know, the DVDs and stuff and sold them for $20. And methamphetamine was a part of that. And then we see a lot of people, it's a very addictive drug. We see a lot of people that are stealing, committing burglaries, committing robberies to support their meth habit, so, as well as meth labs. So we're trying to really crack down on, you know, the production and methamphetamine. We're in the juvenile department. Kids that are in bad environments, they tell me about 80% of those kids are, and in March, 15 babies were born in Washington County that had meth in their system, and their mother was using methamphetamine shortly around birth, which of course can cause physical and mental complications for the children. So it's become a big impact on the crime. It involves a lot of our work towards, I mean, basically geared as prevention to try to explain, you know, some of the dangers of it. And I think there needs to be a continuing effort to try to find out what, you know, where, how we can get to kids as they're growing up so they don't make the choices to get involved in gangs or get involved in drugs, because oftentimes it's a slippery slope. Like with methamphetamine, it's very addictive. I've talked to meth addicts who've said, yeah, I took it once and that was it. You know, I became addicted, and you know, my life went downhill immediately. So prevention is really important to, I think, to the community.
Have hate crime laws been taking more drastic measures as time has gone since the 80s and now, or have they been the same in sentencing? Have judges become more strict?
Well, actually, we didn't used to have, that's a good example. We didn't have hate crime laws as such. So if someone basically assaulted someone because of their race or religion, it was just prosecuted, you know, it was prosecuted, of course, but it was I had actually the first hate crime we prosecuted in Washington County, which was probably, I'm trying to remember, but I want to say the late 80s. It was an African-American student at Forest Grove High School in Oregon to get laws both, you know, through this initiative process all the way. What has changed is the technology and science. The trials are a lot more complicated. You know, I used to think when I was in deal with those science classes anymore, you know, and lo and behold, in like 1989, I had a murder case where a 13-year-old girl was found in the Tualatin River, and she'd been raped and strangled, so in processing the evidence, they were telling me about, well, they got this new thing called DNA. So I go, well, it's almost 4,000 this year, I believe. So they're releasing sometimes 100 people a week because there's not enough room there. And in Multnomah County, it's worse than that. They're releasing a lot of people. So there's people that we all think the judges decided they shouldn't be released. You have to understand, if like 400 people are arrested in a week, usually 385 or 390 of them get released because they qualify. Either they post bail or they're, you know, they're trusted to come to court and they're not considered dangerous. So it's only like 10 or 15 each week that are oh, it's kind of the idea that, you know, maybe with peers kind of looking at what somebody's, you know, what kids have done, then maybe that'll be an effective way to you know, get them to knock it off. We have what are called drug courts, which giving them the option of going into a drug court program and not going to prison. It's 12 to 18 months. They got to be in court every week. They've got to take urinalysis. It's a pretty rigorous. For some people, they say that's too tough. I'd rather go to prison. But the whole strategy is that if we can clean them up and get them off drugs, then of course that's certainly good for them. But it's also good for the rest of us because now these guys aren't out breaking into our cars and stealing our property and committing those types of crimes. So that's a strategy. And I guess another one is that we have gang units around the county and the police agency. And the idea is to begin to be kind of connect with the youth and maybe stop something when they know something's up and they hear something might be happening. Maybe, you know, interceding and then providing options for kids. Kind of the idea is to see police as and law enforcement as human beings, you know, that have kids that play sports, that are, you know, regular people, and so that maybe give people a chance to not get, you know, sucked into the bad stuff. And I guess the other thing I'd mention is we have a lot of specialties now. We have I lead what we call the major crimes team. So if we have a murder in Washington County or the police shoot somebody or a baby, a lot of experts. So we have a pretty high clearance rate. So people usually get, you know, the case gets investigated and the guilty person gets arrested and convicted. We do that with fraud cases and other types of cases. So it's a good strategy where there's 12 police agencies in Washington County, so we're pooling everybody together to work together to get good results.
In your whole profession as being a lawyer, do you see crime going up or going down? And if it is going up, what would you do to stop it?
Well, it certainly was going up quite a bit, you know, through the 80s into the early to mid 90s, and then it kind of leveled off, and maybe even Oregon has gone down a little bit. Now we're seeing it rise a little bit again. So it's kind of one of those things that your questions have been real good because we've talked about a lot of the things to try to stop it. It's looking at the whole package. It's looking at prevention, you know, education, trying to reach out so that young people don't get involved in the first place. Then if they do get involved, it's to have effective programs to, you know, maybe help them get off drugs. It's the same time, I don't know about how your parents are, but it's kind of like when you have kids, you have to have everything. You've got to be able to, they got to understand you care. You got to talk to them in advance. You also have to, if they won't take the garbage out or mow the lawn, there's got to be consequences. You know, so we've got to have tough laws for the real violent people. There are some people that you just have to remove from our society because they're just bad. I mean, they do violent things, and so you have to have enough jail space and prison space, you know, to take care of the bad people. But